Welcome to a Christmas edition of Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from the holiday season of radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Later on, Richard Diamond, Private Detective, and the cast perform a Christmas carol. But first, part 5 of 26 of a Christmas tradition on radio, it's the Cinnamon Bear, heard on December 3rd, 1937.
And here's the Cinnamon Bear.
I wonder what's happening to Judy and Jimmy and the Cinnamon Bear. They lost the Silver Star again when the Crazy Quilt Dragon jumped into the root beer ocean, and as though that weren't bad enough, they were captured by the Inkaboos, strange people made out of blotting paper with their faces drawn on in ink. Crazy Quilt escaped, but the rest of our brave expedition was led before King Blotto III, accused of violating all sorts of Inkaboo laws and finally condemned to be thrown into the immense inkwell. Now we find Judy and Jimmy and the Cinnamon Bear, completely surrounded by Inkaboos, standing on the brink of the immense inkwell.
Jimmy, hold my hand. I'm scared.
Deary me, this inkwell really is immense and black as pitch.
Willikers, it's almost a block across.
Yes, and it's over 3,000 thingamajigs deep, and it's icy cold.
Oh, my beautiful stuffing. This'll be the end of Patio Cinnamon, sure.
And we'll never, never get the Silver Star back. Maybe we'll never have another Christmas even. Oh, I wish we were back home with Mother and Daddy.
Oh, don't cry, Judy. I'm right here. I'm a pretty good swimmer, you know. I got a badge for it. But I don't know how good I can swim in that awful ink.
You can't. This is unswimmable ink. You'll just sink and sink and sink.
Oh, you mean old blotters.
His Right Royal Highness, King Blotto III.
Ow, ow, ow.
Well, let's get on with the execution. Come. Where's the royal executioner?
Excuse me, Your Majesty, but the royal executioner isn't here.
Isn't here? Why isn't he?
This is his day off.
Why doesn't somebody tell me these things? Send someone after him.
Begging your pardon, Your Majesty, but Executioners Union Local 33 and a third would be very much annoyed if we did.
Maybe we'll get saved yet, Jimmy.
Maybe.
What a way to run a kingdom. Here we have 3 very insulting people to execute, and the executioner is taking a day off. I'm flabbergasted.
But, Your Majesty, how is
it? Quiet! Where's my royal secretary?
Here I am, Your Majesty.
Take a proclamation. Quote, be it known hereafter, and from this date henceforward, that the royal executioner shall not, underline not, shall not take his day off if it is the day of an execution. And furthermore...
Excuse me, Your Majesty, but how can the royal executioner not take his day off on the day of an execution if he starts off on his day off before it becomes the day of an execution? Do I make myself clear?
Absolutely. What do you mean?
Well, the royal executioner left for his day off this morning, and this did not become a day of an execution until this afternoon.
Oh, very well, then. Don't take a proclamation. You see if I care.
If things keep up at this rate, we may have a chance yet, Jimmy.
That's what I think.
Well, why doesn't somebody do something?
I'm sorry, Your Majesty, but the Inkaboo Constitution is very rigid in the matter of executions. I'm afraid we're lost without the royal executioner to officiate.
Why don't you just sort of call the whole thing off, huh?
That'd be elegant.
Sure. You don't want to have an execution anyhow.
We do so, and don't you speak until you're spoken to. This here now execution has got to go on.
What'll we do? Possibly we could postpone the...
Hooray! Hooray!
Now, what's the matter with you?
I've been trying for 10 years to remember what my official position is, and it just dawned on me sudden-like. Hooray! Hooray!
Oh, cut the hooray business and tell us who you are, if it makes any difference.
Oh, but it does, Your Majesty. I just happen to remember that I'm the assistant royal executioner. So there.
Oh, we're sunk, children. They'll dunk us like doughnuts.
Oh, I don't want to be pushed into that awful big old inkwell.
Me neither. I'll fight him first. Come on, leave
me. No, you don't. Hold him, man.
Leave me alone. Oh, ouch!
Now, don't do that again, Blotterface, or I'll scratch you to shreds.
Did you hear that? This little runt says he'll scratch me to pieces.
And he will, too.
Gurrah! Gurrah!
Oh, make that thing stop making that funny noise, will you? And for the love of ink, get on with the execution.
Very well, Your Majesty.
Gurrah!
Just a minute. What's that person doing anyway?
He's a cinnamon bear, and that's his growl.
Yeah, and it scares people like everything.
Oh, fiddlesticks doesn't scare me at all, but I find it most annoying. Kindly desist, will you? And in the name of 10,000 pen wipers, please proceed with the execution.
Of course, Your Majesty. Are the prisoners in line to be shoved up into the immense inkwell, Captain?
Well, sort of, but they won't stand still. Here, you, all of you put your arms around each other so the executioner can push you in with one push.
Oh, dear.
There. All ready now.
I'm awful scared, Cinnamon Bear.
Just be calm like me, Judy. Something always happens.
Sure, like in storybooks. The Marines will come, maybe.
What is holding us up now? I'm rapidly losing my patience.
Pardon, Your Majesty, but I temporarily forgot how the ceremony begins.
Well, you better remember in a jiffy, or I'll have you dropped into the inkwell when the royal executioner gets back from his day off.
Yes, Your Majesty. Oyez, oyez! In the name of His Majesty, King Blotto III, I, assistant executioner, you hereby prepare to shove these prisoners into the black depths of the immense inkwell.
Well, go on.
Your Majesty will please forgive me, but I can't just remember the exact wording of the execution.
Absurd! Why, I'll have you...
Please, couldn't I just skip over that part and shove him in right away?
Your Majesty, unless the executioner proceeds according to custom, the execution may not be done.
Oh, this is the last straw. Oh, dear, let me see. Maybe I can remember how it begins. One for the money... Two for the show. Oh, splendid. One for the money, two for the show, three...
Jimmy and I know that one.
You bet. It's one for the money, two for the show, three to make ready.
No. Don't, Jimmy. You're just helping him throw us in this awful inkwell.
Jiminy Crickets, I forgot.
Your Majesty, I remember it all now. May we proceed with the execution?
By all means, and make it snappy.
One for the money, two for the show, three to make ready.
And ho, ho, ho.
Who interrupts our magnificent ceremony of execution?
Why, it's the crazy quilt dragon.
Where?
I see him, and bless my stocking, if he hasn't got reinforcements.
Hooray, we're safe.
Company, prepare to defend yourselves.
Crazy quilt's got a company of scissor soldiers. They'll cut the inkable blotters to pieces.
Well, let's try to get through and meet Crazy Quilt.
We can't. We're completely surrounded by these awful inkaboos.
They're going to try and hold us.
Up and at them, boys. Mow them down.
Here we are, Crazy Quilt.
Hold on, friend. We'll break through.
Call for reinforcements. Bring out the artillery.
Crazy Quilt?
Give him the works. Hurrah!
Here he is. Here's Crazy Quilt.
Oh, you got here just in the nick of time, Crazy.
Oh, glad we did. But the fight's not over yet. The Inkaboo captain just called for the artillery.
Oh, these scissor soldiers will fix them all right.
I don't think so. Scissors can raise havoc with ordinary Inkaboo blotters, but they're not much good against the artillery.
Just as soon as there's a big enough break in the line, we'll run for it. Hurrah! Adam, boys!
Here comes the Inkaboo artillery.
Look! They're big fountain pens.
Right, and they squirt ink.
Gee, look what they're doing to the citizen soldiers. They're slipping and sliding all over the place.
Oh, that's what I was afraid of. They can't cut a thing when they're wet.
Oh, hooray! There's a break in the Inkaboo line.
Come on, let's run for it.
All right, but where are we going? We can't just run and run.
Of course not. The Inkaboos will catch us.
Well, just keep running. I think I know a safe place.
Where's that?
The Root Beer Ocean. We'll all jump in, and the Inkaboos won't dare follow us because they'd get soaked and fall to pieces.
Wonderful, Crazy Quilt. Let's run even faster.
Yes, but what about Cinnamon Bear? He can't jump in the Root Beer Ocean.
Mercy, no. It would be the end of me and my extra special stuffing.
Don't worry about that. You can all climb on my back, and I'll swim you.
Crazy Quilt, you're a lifesaver.
Oh, not yet, I'm not. We've still got to make it to the beach. Let's go.
Oh, there's the Root Beer Ocean.
I was afraid we'd never make it.
Oh, gee, here come those Inkaboos.
All right, up on my back, all of you.
Okay, Crazy Quilt. I'm on. How about you, Jimmy?
Right behind you, Judy.
Yeah, me too.
All set for the takeoff?
All set, Crazy.
Then here we go.
Whew, just made it. Boy, are those Inkaboos mad.
Yeah, but they don't dare follow us.
We're certainly grateful to you for saving us, Crazy Quilt.
Oh, Shaw, it was nothing. I just wanted to show you how sorry I was about the Silver Star.
Oh, I'd almost forgotten about our Silver Star with all the excitement and everything.
Yes, but we still got the fire to put on top of our tree, or Christmas won't be Christmas.
Well, do you think I've redeemed myself enough to be allowed to help you look for it, my friend?
Crazy Quilt. As one Cinnamon Bear to a dragon, I'd say yes. What do you think, children?
Sure. Crazy Quilt's one of us now,
and we're glad to have him.
Oh, my friends, I am touched. I don't know how.
Why?
Oh, my stuffings.
Willikers, what a big wave that was. Are you all right, Cinnamon Bear?
Unky dunky.
Jimmy, look, over there. Isn't that our Silver Star?
Oh, sure enough. It's floating on top of the Root Beer Ocean as nice as you please.
Eureka! Swim over that way, Crazy Quilt, so Jimmy can reach out and grab it.
Right you are, Skipper.
Now, just a little closer, Crazy Quilt.
Ooh, what's that?
Wow, it's a big whale. A blue and white polka dot whale.
Odds bodkins, it's Wesley, the wailing whale.
And he came up right between us and our Silver Star.
And he sees it, too. And he's opening his mouth.
Oh, he swallowed it right up.
Well, if it isn't one thing, it's another. This is certainly a pretty pickle for our young friends. No sooner do they escape the Inkaboos and find their precious Silver Star floating serenely on the Root Beer Ocean, but a blue and white polka dot whale with an appetite has to come along and gobble it up. Let's listen next time and see what happens. Never can tell, you know.
The Cinnamon Bear, on Tuned to Yesterday, broadcast on December 3rd, 1937. The show was originally created by Glanville Heisch and was sold as an advertising promotion for whichever sponsor had their message dropped in over the lengthy theme music. In 1951, the Cinnamon Bear landed a brief television series where the characters were portrayed by hand puppets, with the radio show used as the soundtrack. Let's hear episode 6 of this 26-part series now, broadcast on the 4th of December, 1937.
And here's the Cinnamon Bear.
Now let's see what's happening to our adventurous Judy and Jimmy and the Cinnamon Bear. Last time we saw them, they had just barely escaped being thrown into the immense inkwell by the Inkaboos. Crazy Quilt Dragon arrived in the nick of time with Scissor Soldiers, who held off the enemy long enough for them to rush down to the beach, jump on Crazy Quilt's back, and plunge into the Root Beer Ocean. You see, the Inkaboos didn't dare follow them because they were made of blotting paper and would have been soaked to pieces. You'll remember, too, that they discovered their precious silver star floating on the water. And just as Jimmy was about to pick it up, a blue and white polka dot whale rose out of the ocean and...
swallowed it just like that. Oh, why did that old whale have to go and eat our silver star? I'm getting worrieder and worrieder that we won't get it back in time to put it on our Christmas tree.
We'll do our especially best, Judy. All we can do for now is to wait until he comes up again.
Say, Crazy Quill.
Yes, Jimmy?
Do you know this whale who swallowed our silver star?
Slightly. He invited me out for a clam chowder dinner once. His name is Wesley, and he always has the tummy ache.
How long do you think it'll be before he comes to the top again?
Oh, can't ever tell. What I'm worried about is that he might come up someplace else where we won't see him.
Oh, dear. Whatever will we do?
We'll just have to be patient and wait and hope he shows up somewhere around here.
Speaking of waiting, if we have to wait much longer, I'm vastly afraid you folks won't have any place to wait.
Well, what do you mean, Crazy Quill?
Well, it's this way. I'm not really a watertight dragon, and in order to make any sort of extended sea cruise, I have to go on a special diet. It takes about 4 barrels of corks to put me in the pink.
And you haven't eaten any corks lately?
Not for some time, and if I stay in this root beer ocean very much longer, I'll get waterlogged. Or maybe I should say root beer logged and sink.
Oh, my stuffings. Can't we go someplace where you can dry out?
How about that big rock over there?
An excellent thought, Jimmy. I'll just head in that direction. Be there in a...
Ahoy! Avast there! Belay!
What's the matter, Cinnamon Bear?
There's the whale. He's coming up. Oh, look at him. He's coming up.
Hello there, Wesley.
Yeah. Hello, Crazy Quill.
How are you, you old blue and white blubberer?
Oh, there you go. Insulting me just because you know I'm a sick whale. Woe is me.
Oh, I was only fooling. What's bothering you now?
Hurry up and tell him about our star.
In a minute, Judy. I said, what's bothering you now, Wesley?
It's a pain I can't quite locate. Oh, dear, it just jumps all around. And...
I've a pretty good idea what it might be, my drooping denizen of the deep.
Oh, you have? Well, tell me like a good dragon.
Remember about an hour ago you swallowed something floating around here?
Oh, yes, of course. Just a tea time snack, nothing heavy.
Maybe so, but what you swallowed was a silver star that belongs to my young friends up here, Judy and Jimmy, and the fellow sitting behind them is Paddy O'Cinnamon.
Hello, folks. Sorry to meet you, but I'm feeling so miserable.
No wonder you don't feel good after eating our silver star.
Oh, what a pity. I don't know why I did it, really. I've no appetite at all, just nibble here and there. Oh, whoa, ho, ho.
You're the funniest whale I ever heard of. Never saw anything like you.
Of course you haven't. Oh.
You've never seen a wailing whale until you've looked at me, oh. I've whaled in 47 seas from Tokyo to Rio. I never smile, I never laugh, I never grin or snicker. It takes too long to smile a smile. A frown is so much quicker. Whaley, whaley, groan and grumble, deary, dreary, dear. Roar and rumble, moon and mumble, woe is me. I wail by day, I wail by night, in winter, spring, and autumn. I wail on top the ocean's waves, or on the ocean's bottom. I'm very fond of tummy aches. In fact, I like to be sick. I thrash the water till it's rough, then float till I get seasick. Whaley, whaley, groan and grumble, deary, dreary, dear. Roar and rumble, moon and mumble, woe is me.
Very nice.
Do you like my voice? I've had considerable comment on it. You ought to hear me cut loose with Rocked in the Cradle of the Deep.
You're all right, Wesley, if I may presume to call you that.
Well, that's quite all right. You know what? I think I'd sound much better if I didn't feel so bad.
I should think you would feel bad. That silver star you ate was made of glass.
Yes. What? Glass? Oh, dearie me. Oh, double dearie me. I'm certainly the most unfortunate whale that ever flipped a flipper.
You didn't chew it up, did you?
No, I didn't, but that doesn't help matters any. Glass. Oh, dear. Somebody get a doctor quick. I'm going. I know I'm going.
Oh, of course you're not, Wesley. Just take a good deep breath and see what you can do about returning the star to its rightful owners.
Oh, I'm so indisposed. I think I'm going to faint. What? No smelling salts?
Oh, dear. There he goes. And the silver star inside him. What'll we do now?
Wait until he comes up again. Maybe he'll feel better then.
Not Wesley. He enjoys poor health.
Oh, what do you say we climb up on that rock like we plan to do? Then Crazy Quill can get dried out, and we can watch for Wesley to come up to the top again.
Fine. Hold on tight, everybody. Up we go.
Whee!
Ah, here we are. Now, if you'll all get off, I'll take myself a bit of a sunbath.
Sure enough.
Yeah, come on, Judy. I'll help you down.
Thanks, Cinnamon Bear.
Pardon me, my friends. I shall retire to a remote corner and stretch me out in the sun. See you later.
Yeah, take a good rest, Crazy Quilt.
Oh, hello.
Hello yourself.
It's a sill, Judy.
Howdy, folks. Welcome to our city.
It isn't a city. It's just a wharf.
I know. Just a figure of speech. Welcome anyhow. I'm Samuel, the trained seal.
Like the ones in the circus?
Have you seen them? Amateurs, my boy. Just amateurs. You haven't seen a thing until you've seen me perform.
Well, if you're so good, let's see you.
Not now, Jimmy. Get him to dive down and wake up the wailing whale.
Okay, here's trick number one.
Too late now, Judy. That pesky seal set on showing himself off.
Oh, it's a thriller, folks. I toss this ball high into the air, turn a somersault, blow a whistle, and catch it on my nose.
What, the whistle?
No, the ball. Now get a load of this, folks. Here goes.
Whee! Look at that, Jimmy.
Excuse me, my friend, but you do the whole show, don't you? Applause and all.
Oh, yes. Do that with my flippers. Just to get my timing right, you know. Must get used to public acclaim.
I'd say it was pretty good, all right.
Oh, pretty good, nothing. You know, you've never seen a better juggling, balance, and musical act.
Can you dive?
Can a seal dive? I'm Olympic material, I am. Can I dive?
Would you dive down and wake up the wailing whale, then? He's got something that belongs to us, and we want him to hurry and give it back.
I thought I saw Wesley hereabouts a while back. Sure, I'll dive down and wake him up. Oh, I'll give him a nip that will make him start, all right. Watch this form. Now, is this grace? Is this diving? Whoa! Back in a minute, folks!
I hope he can wake up the whale. Maybe he won't be able to find him.
Oh, sure he will.
There's Wesley coming up now.
And there's the seal. Say, that was fast work.
Oh,
here he is, folks. Told you I'd wake him up.
Oh, what goes on here?
A seal named Samuel just dived down and woke up the wailing whale for us, Crazy Quill.
Oh, that's very commendable of Samuel.
Oh, don't mention it, my good fellow. Don't mention it.
Oh, woe is me. Woe is me.
What's the matter, Mr. Whale?
Now, that silver star thing of yours is making me most miserable. Here I'm supposed to watch my tummy, and something like this has to happen. Oh, whoa, ho, ho. Whoa, ho, 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 ho. Oh, ho, ho, this is killing me.
What are you laughing at, Wesley? First time in my life I ever heard you laugh.
Can't help it. The star is tickling my insides. Caught my throat.
Make him sneeze. He'd cough it right up, I bet. Somebody tickle him.
Can't any of us reach him. Crazy Quilt, here, you're the longest. You try.
Sure. Just a minute. I'll use my extra fancy tail. There. Tickle, 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 tickle.
Oh, there it goes.
I've got it.
The seal caught it on his nose.
Oh, watch me juggle this.
Come on, Samuel, hand over the silver star.
Oh, what's this finesse? Poetry in motion. That's what it is. Zoe!
Oh, look, Cinnamon Bear. Here comes Penelope the Pelican flying low. Haven't seen her around here for months.
Sure enough, it's that pesky pelican.
Please give us our star, Samuel. You might drop it and break it in a million pieces.
Not a chance. I never miss. Just let me give it one more throw and I'll turn it over to you.
Only one more, then. Do you promise?
I promise. This one will be the highest throw ever made by any seal in the world. Stand back, everyone. Hey, you, Penelope the Pelican. Stop flying around over my head so I can make this record throw.
Please hurry, Samuel.
You should never rush an artist, but here goes. Ta-da! You know, that's for the band, you know. And up goes the star, higher and higher and higher.
Look, Judy, look! Oh, that pelican caught our silver star.
Snatched it right in midair.
Now, isn't that a nice how do you do?
And a nice how do you do it certainly is. Just imagine it. They get their silver star back from the wailing whale, only to have it snatched away by Penelope the Pelican. It's beginning to look very much like Judy and Jimmy and the Cinnamon Bear will have to go through a lot more trouble to get it back in time to put on top of their Christmas tree. Or maybe they'll have better luck next time. So let's be sure and listen.
The Cinnamon Bear, on Tuned to Yesterday from December 4th, 1937, a syndicated broadcast. It's an hour of Christmas shows on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for Richard Diamond, Private Detective, with their Christmas tradition, the original cast of the series performing Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. This ABC broadcast heard on December 21st, 1951.
Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Diamond Detective Agency, we deal in crime, but we're closed now. It's Christmas time. Hello there, this is Diamond. Every year about this time, my business takes a big nosedive. People usually pack up their troubles and start unpacking colored lights and Christmas tree ornaments. So tonight, I'm going to tell you my favorite Christmas story, one I always like to tell. A Christmas Carol by Mr. Charles Dickens. Now, I'd better explain something first. This version isn't exactly the way you've always heard it. Because of the particular type of characters I usually get mixed up with, this story is written to fit their talents and characteristics. Different from the Dickens original, certainly, but we feel that this story could easily happen today, anywhere. Like right here in New York on a little side street just off the Bowery. So now I'd like to introduce our characters. Mr. Ebenezer Scrooge will be played by my good friend and guiding hand of the 5th Precinct Homicide Division.
Lieutenant Walter Levinson.
Walter!
Otis.
The character of Jacob Marley will be played by one of Lieutenant Levinson's most trusted henchmen.
Otis, that's you.
Huh? Oh, Sergeant Otis Loveloon.
Loveloon.
Walt.
Sorry, Alan.
Tiny Tim will be played by our corner newsboy.
Hi, I'm Johnny Rollins.
Tiny Tim's mother will be played by my red-headed gal friend,
Helen Asher.
The rest of the characters will be played by members of the 5th Precinct Police Station.
Officer O'Reilly.
Officer Leskowitz.
Sergeant Miller.
The music will be furnished by the 5th Precinct Police Band, directed by Patrolman Worth.
Hi.
And now, our version of the Christmas classic, Charles Dickens, A Christmas Carol. Once upon a time, there was a nasty old guy named Ebenezer Scrooge. He was nasty, all right. He didn't like anything, except maybe all the dough he could get his hands on. Scrooge had a little business that he started with his partner, Jacob Marley. The outfit was known as Scrooge and Marley Loan Company. But one day, poor old Marley just up and keeled over. So the boys along the big street gave him a nice funeral, and old man Scrooge took over the business. Well, Marley had been dead for 7 years, and Scrooge lived alone in his little room over the office, and for a hobby, he hated everybody. He had a young guy working for him named Bob Cratchit. Bob had a wife and 4 kids and made just enough to make ends meet. Scrooge used to ride him all the time. When it got so cold, the polar bears complained, Cratchit would turn on the little heater, and Scrooge would say,
Cratchit, what do you think you're doing?
Turning on the heat, that's what I'm doing. My fingers look like popsicles.
I don't care if they come in six delicious flavors. Every time you turn on that heater, it costs me money. Business is not good, so get back to your work. And turn off the heat.
Oh, now look, Mr. Scrooge, I'm freezing. This pen ain't guaranteed to write under ice.
I'm telling you once more, get back to your work.
Okay, but I don't know why you worry about business. Why not just put up a sign and turn the joint into a skating rink? Merry Christmas, Mr. Scrooge.
Oh, swell. Merry Christmas. Ah, humbug.
Humbug?
Yes, humbug. My old man didn't like Christmas, and that's what he used to say. Humbug.
Okay, humbug. It's still Christmas, and I don't see where you get off not liking it. This is supposed to be the time everybody gets with it. Everything stops. It ain't much good, and you put your arm around the next guy, and you tell him Merry Christmas.
I'm going to put my arm around you with a hammer on the end of it if you don't lay off this goodwill stuff.
Look, what's with you? What have you got against Christmas?
You show me a way to make $100 every Christmas, and I'll fall in love with it. You want me to be merry?
Well, sure.
Then go get some of those joyous clients of mine to pay off their loans. Merry Christmas. Humbug!
Okay, then, humbug. But it's still cold in here. Have some icicles, but give them back after the holidays. They're my fingers.
Late that evening, Scrooge went upstairs to his room, the room where Jacob Marley used to stay. It was dark in the little hall, and when Scrooge reached for the door, he looked up at the big brass knocker and saw...
Holy cow. Could have sworn that was old Jake's face in the knocker. I must be working too hard.
So in he went. A little shaky after seeing Jake Marley's face, but he just passed it off his nerves. He closed the door and locked it, then got a fire going and started to relax. But every tile around the fireplace started looking like Jake Marley's face.
Oh, now come on, S, old boy. You gotta get hold of yourself. This is ridiculous. I haven't touched a drop in weeks.
He got up and walked around the room a few times, then went back and sat down again. He stretched, rested his head on the back of the chair. From somewhere a bell started chiming. And Scrooge sat straight up in his chair. He heard something else, too, something from downstairs.
What the? Oh, now, what is that? What's going on here? Who's that? Come on, who's out there?
And all of a sudden, it came right out through the wall.
All right, sit still, Scrooge.
Marley. Jake Marley. Oh, no, no. I gotta stop eating lobster. Ooh, it couldn't be. What's with you? Who are you?
Jake Marley. Who else?
You're dead.
The deadest. But nevertheless, Jake Marley.
His ghost.
Oh, you are very sharp today, Scrooge, old boy.
I don't believe it.
You got eyes, ain't you?
Yeah, and I got a bad stomach, too. That's who you are. Nothing but a bad case of indigestion.
You don't think I'm a ghost, huh? Okay. Maybe a good scare will change your mind.
No, 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 no. Stay away from me. All right, I believe you.
You sold on the idea?
Yeah, yeah. But why did you come to see me?
Regulations. Every man's supposed to live his life and help his buddies. If he don't do it while he's alive, then he gotta do it after he kicks off.
Oh, cut it out! Why come to me?
Because you're gonna end up just like me, unless we do something in a hurry. Now, I haven't got much time, so you better listen.
Oh, I don't want to be like you. I'll listen.
Okay. You are gonna have three visitors. You are gonna be haunted by three spirits.
Oh, no.
It is the only way you can keep from being like me. When you hear the bell strike one, the first one will be here. Well, I gotta be going. You won't see me again, but you remember what I told you. So long, Scrooge, old boy. Your goosebumps can relax now.
Cut it out!
After the ghost took off, Scrooge just refused to believe it.
Nuts. It's ridiculous. Humbug.
Then he climbed into the sack and was soon snoring up a storm. When Scrooge awoke, it was still dark, and the bell from the church on 53rd Street was striking 12. He lay awake listening and thinking to himself.
Ah, just a dream. Ghosts.
Finally, he dropped off again and slept for about an hour. Then the bell struck 1.
1 o'clock. I don't see no ghost. I knew it was something I ate.
All of a sudden, a big light flashed in the room, and the first of the spirits stood before him.
I, Scrooge.
Oh, Jake was right. Are you the first spirit that Jake said had come to haunt me?
Yeah, you know it.
Well, who are you?
Me? I'm the ghost of Christmas past.
Yeah? How long past?
Your past. Come on. We're gonna take a little ride.
Well, where are we going?
Just relax. I'm running this tour.
Well, let me get my pants.
You got them.
They're on me.
With that, the ghost of Christmas Past grabbed Scrooge by the hand, and they both flew out of the window. Scrooge nearly lost his upper plate, but before he could yell for help, he was standing in front of a dirty, ramshackle old tenement building.
You know where you are?
Sure, I know where I am. This is where I was brought up. Even the garbage cans are the same.
You had a pretty tough time when you were a kid, didn't you?
The toughest? I wasn't very big. The rest of the kids in the neighborhood were. I had more black eyes than a crow.
You want to go in?
What for?
To see your folks.
My folks died a long, long time ago.
They're there now. Come on.
Well, the ghost took old Scrooge into the building and showed him a Christmas, years past, when he was a child with his family. Sure, it was tough living in two little rooms like that, but Scrooge remembered how wonderful it really was.
What's the matter, Scrooge?
Huh? Oh, I've got something in my eye.
You were pretty lonely when your folks... when they,
Yeah. You know, there was a young kid that came around earlier this evening and sang some carols. Gee, I wish...
Yeah? What do you wish?
Oh, nothing.
Come on. I want to show you another Christmas.
The spirit showed him another Christmas and still another. And you know, no matter how tough Scrooge remembered his childhood had been, it always seemed that Christmas was wonderful. And then before he knew it, Scrooge was back in his little room and the spirit was gone. Scrooge was pretty beat. He climbed into bed and dropped into a heavy sleep.
What's that? It's 2 o'clock.
Hey, that light in the other room. I got burglars.
Hey, Scrooge, come on in.
Who's that? What are you doing in the other room?
Come on in and take a look. It's pretty nifty.
Hey, what is this? What have you done to the room? Looks like Basie's window. Where'd you get all the holly and the mistletoe? And how did you get in here?
Do you like it?
Oh, for Pete's sake, a Christmas tree. Who are you?
The ghost of Christmas present. Now, don't tell me you don't like the way I fix things up. I work pretty hard.
Oh, second ghost. Okay, Take me wherever you want to go, but believe me, next time I try the train.
Let's go. Now what do you see?
I see bright colored lights, people having a lot of fun, kids on sleighs.
See that building over there? The one with the big weef on the front door?
Yeah, that's where Bob Cratchit lives. He works for me. Hey, look, there's Bob now.
Yeah, going into the house. Up all those stairs to the fifth floor. He's got his little boy on his back.
Tiny Tim.
Yeah. He got polio last summer. Pretty sick little boy.
I know. Bob said he'd need a lot of care if he was ever going to walk again.
Come on. Let's take a peek.
Hi.
Hello, honey. You and Tim have a good time?
The best. Didn't we, Tim?
Yeah, Dad. We watched all the kids in the block on their sleds. Mom, will I ever be able to ride a sled?
Of course, Tim. Won't he, dear?
Well, sure thing, Roughneck. Next Christmas, you'll be out there doing belly whoppers with the rest of them.
Dad, what's the matter? Your eyes are all wet.
Nothing, Tim. I just got some snow in them.
You want some chicken, Tim?
No turkey?
No, but lots of cranberries.
Okay. Can I sit next to you, Dad?
You just bet.
Bob, will you say grace, dear?
Can I say something first, Mom?
Oh, of course, Tim. What would you like to say?
God bless us, everyone.
What's the matter, Scrooge, old boy? Got some snow in your eyes, too?
Tell me something.
Sure, if I can.
What about Tiny Tim?
Well, can't say for sure. If his old man makes enough money next year to get the White Doctor, little Tim will get along just fine. But times are tough, aren't they, Scrooge?
Yeah.
Now, the spirit of Christmas present took Scrooge to many places and showed him a lot of happiness and a lot of misery. And finally back to his little room, and the spirit was gone.
Oh, I don't know whether I can take much more of this.
Then a new ghost drifted in. This was worst yet. He was really done up for haunting. He was all dressed in black with one arm sticking out and pointing right at poor old Scrooge. This was the last one of the spirits. Scrooge's knees sounded like castanets on a reducing machine.
Okay. Okay, you don't have to tell me. You're the ghost of the Christmas that hasn't come yet. You, I'm really scared of.
The ghost took off with Scrooge right after him. The city disappeared, and Scrooge found himself on the outskirts of town, standing in a graveyard. The night was howling like it was mad, and as Scrooge looked down, he saw...
Hey, what's this? What's this stone?
The black spirit stood still and pointed, so Scrooge leaned down, pulled away the bushes, and saw it was a tombstone.
There's a name here. Ebenezer Scrooge. Oh, no. No. Look at this. Believe me, I don't want this. I know I've done wrong, but I'm not kidding. I really know what Christmas means. It doesn't mean just today or tomorrow. It's every day. Every day of your life. I swear I'll do better. Oh, only take me away from this. Let me try. Let me try to make Christmas right for me and for everybody else. Please. Please, don't let this happen. Give me another chance. Well, don't just stand there. Put your arm back in. You'll catch cold. Well, say something.
Suddenly, Scrooge dropped to his knees and reached out for the spirit. But something happened. The spirit started to shrink. Then it collapsed. And when Scrooge looked up...
What the... My bedpost. My own bedpost. I'm home. Oh, thank goodness. I lived the past, the present, and the future, and now I'm home. Hallelujah! Spirit, wherever you are, believe me, from now on, things are going to be different. Oh, yeah, and thanks.
Babe!
paper, get your morning paper.
Hey, boy, boy.
Yeah?
What day is this?
It's Christmas. What's with you?
Christmas. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. I haven't missed it. The spooks did it all in one night. Boy?
Oh, it's you, Mr. Scrooge.
How many papers you got?
I don't know.
Well, here's what? $5. $5. Throw them away and then go have yourself a Merry Christmas.
Gee, thanks, Mr. Scrooge. And a Merry Christmas to you.
Oh, boy, say that again.
Thanks.
No, no, the other.
Oh, you mean Merry Christmas?
Yeah, that's it. Merry Christmas.
Okay, okay, I'm coming. What's the matter with you? Can't you see the store's closed? Look, mister, the store is... Ebenezer Scrooge.
Merry Christmas, Barney.
You've been drinking?
Not a drop. Well, what's the matter? Aren't you going to wish me a Merry Christmas?
Oh, sure, Merry... Sure. Come on in. The wife's upstairs with her mother, but I got a bottle in the back.
Look, Barney, I know your grocery store is closed, but you could still sell me a turkey, couldn't you?
What do you want a turkey for? You've been eating at the Automat every Christmas for the last 7 years.
It's not for me.
Well, then who's the boyd for?
Bobby Cratchit. You know, the young guy that works for me.
Oh, yeah? How much you gonna charge him?
Yeah, here's $20, huh? Here's the address. And listen, don't tell Cratchit who sent the thing. Okay?
Yeah, okay.
Merry Christmas, Barney.
Yeah. Merry Christmas.
Well, old Scrooge went back to his rooms and took an old blue suit out of the mothballs. He shook it out, put a few creases in it, and went out on the street. The old boy was really with it. Everybody he passed, he greeted them with...
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
He went to church and gave a large donation, and Father McCarthy nearly forgot his sermon. Yes, for the first time in his life, Scrooge was having a Merry Christmas and arrived early at his office. If he could just catch Cratchit coming in late, and he did, Bob was a good 21 minutes late.
Cratchit!
Oh, no.
You're 21 minutes late.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Mr. Scrooge. I had a big evening.
Oh, you did, huh? You know what I told you if I caught you fancy-footing it in here late again.
Okay, so I'm canned.
You think you got it coming?
Well, I'm too tired to argue. Jobs are tough enough, and I hate to lose this one, but I'm just too tired.
A raise would help, huh?
Well, that's the silliest question of the year.
Then you got it. It's in the envelope.
What?
Uh-huh. Maybe after we see how the funds are, we might be able to do something about Tiny Tim.
Well, yeah. I don't get it. A raise? You want to do something about Tim? I don't get it.
Sure you do, Bob. Haven't you heard? It's Christmas. Now go on home. Take the day off. Take the week off. Come back when you feel like it. Merry Christmas.
Mr. Scrooge?
Yeah?
Merry Christmas.
And Scrooge really did it. He was as good as his word, better even. He made it the merriest Christmas ever. And later, things got better, and he took care of Tiny Tim. And sure enough, Tim was out on his sled the next Christmas doing belly whoppers with the best of them. Every Christmas thereafter, all along the big street, it was said, if anyone knew how to make Christmas merry, old Ebenezer Scrooge was that one.
And I hope that can really be said about all of us. Just like Tiny Tim said.
God bless us, everyone.
That's it, Tim. God bless us, everyone.
Oh, Rick, that was a wonderful story. Not quite the way Dickens wrote it, but it meant the same thing.
Well, thanks, Helen, dear. I thought you were good as Tiny Tim's mother, too, didn't you, Walt?
I sure did, and that's no humbug.
What in the world was that?
It's Sergeant Otis. Oh. He's still playing Marley. Otis!
Yeah, Ebenezer?
Oh, cut it out, Otis. The play's over. Go on, call officers Riley, Lund, and Miller, all of them. Tell them to leave the punch bowl and come over here. We're going to sing.
Oh, boy, I'll lead off. Jingle bells,
No, Otis, Rick will lead. We can join in later.
Oh, Lieutenant.
Go on, Rick.
Otis, stop breathing down my neck.
I'm just waiting to come in.
Otis.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Snow falling down from heaven, making a mantle of white. Sleigh bells are ringing, wonderful Christmas night.
Jingle bells,
no,
jingle bells.
No, not yet, Otis. Voices that sing Hosanna, bathed in a heavenly light. Everyone happy, wonderful Christmas night.
Otis.
Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Otis, stop crying. Life on earth begins again. Joy in the hearts of children, there in the tree's candlelight, all making merry, wonderful Christmas night.
Now, Lieutenant?
No, Otis.
Oh, let him sing, Walt. Come on, everybody.
Oh, boy. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in one horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one horse open sleigh.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 21st of December, 1951 on ABC. And that closes out this hour of Christmas shows on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Livonier. Happy holidays.